Today, my dear faithful, is the third Sunday of Lent. Now, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be therefore followers of God, as most dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as becometh saints, or obscenity or foolish talking or scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know you this, and understand that no fornicator or unclean or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he cast out the dumb spoke, and the multitude were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting, asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest, and not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in they dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke of these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breast that nursed thee. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting, asked of him a sign from heaven. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just a few years ago, my dear faithful, the Vatican issued a most remarkable postage stamp. The very fact that a postage stamp is noteworthy at all is remarkable of itself, but this one does stand out. The center of the stamp shows our Lord hanging on the cross. On his right side kneels a man holding an open book. This man is shown so humbly offering his writings to our Lord, and it looks like he is speaking fervently to Christ. But this man, represented there, is none other than Martin Luther, the founder of the Protestant Revolution. The Vatican, the seat of Catholicism, issued this stamp to honor the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, and to give honor to the man who brought it about as if he were a hero. In other words, those who occupy the Vatican honor the very man who led millions of souls away from the one true Catholic faith, outside of which there is no salvation, and into a seemingly endless series of heresies. For after Martin Luther, one false religion after another has arisen like weeds in a garden. Now, it must be noted that the Vatican usually issues stamps of individuals like this only once they have been canonized or proclaimed a saint. Yes, they are modernists. What else do we expect? But honoring Martin Luther as a humble man, a heretic and father of all Protestantism. And yet the Vatican exalts him as a humble reformer because, of course, my dear faithful, Martin Luther was anything but humble, in fact. Luther's pride blinded him to the truth revealed by God and thus led him into denying the faith. He let his pride consume him to such a degree that he would not listen to anyone, even in his teachings of faith alone. This doctrine of faith alone means that a man only has to accept Christ as his personal Savior, and he will be saved, no matter how many sins he has committed, nor must he even be sorry for his sins, let alone love God and keep the commandments. Luther said, one only has to believe, and they are saved. Thus, he could teach the people to sin boldly, but believe more boldly. Could there be conceived a more diabolical doctrine than this Protestant teaching? For how many souls have been damned because of it? How many have abandoned themselves to sin, relying on faith alone to save them? And what was Luther's proof for it, for this doctrine? When Luther was asked by Catholic theologians where he got his teachings, he responded that it was in sacred scripture. They asked him, where in sacred scripture exactly? And he responded, the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, verse 28, which Luther then quoted, we account a man to be justified by faith alone, without the works of the law. The theologians pointed out to Luther that Romans 3:28 does not contain the word alone. They showed him that even the oldest manuscripts of sacred scripture, the Latin Itala version and the ancient Greek writings, do not have the word alone in that passage. And so the theologians asked him, where do you get it then? And here's the response of Martin Luther. Dr. Martin Luther will have it so. In other words, it's there because I say it's there. What a most proud and arrogant statement to change the words of sacred scripture for his pride. The Epistle of St. James as well directly contradicts Luther with these words, faith without works is dead. But that did not stop Martin Luther, for he just declared that epistle of sacred scripture to be an epistle of straw that is worthy to be burned. To think, my dear faithful, that the central teaching of all Protestantism, faith alone saves, was nothing more than a fabrication of one man's pride. How like the Pharisees Martin Luther was, especially as we see them in today's gospel. The Pharisees had long prided themselves on being the teachers of the people with all the answers. They gloried as the great ascetics who followed the law so scrupulously. They puffed themselves up with their own knowledge and importance. But then, when they beheld Jesus Christ answering the people's questions they themselves could not answer, and working miracles that they obviously could not do, the Pharisees were infuriated. That our Lord could do these things and they could not, they took this as injuries to themselves. The Pharisees then made up their minds and condemned Christ as evil, not because of any actual evil that they saw, but because they saw Christ being exalted, and so they felt themselves being lowered in comparison. That is the background behind today's gospel, and that explains why the Pharisees accused our Lord of casting out devils by the power of the devil. You see, a crowd of disciples and listeners had surrounded our Lord to listen to him just as usual. Amidst his conversation with them, they brought a possessed man to our Savior. As we read in another account, this possessed man was both blind and dumb. He could neither see nor speak. Our Lord cast the devil out of the man, restoring both his sight and his speech. And so this man and all the multitude gave praise to God for this wonder. Everyone except for the Pharisees. For these proud men alone refused to take joy in this great work and the miracle that they themselves witnessed. Instead, they blasphemed our Savior and claimed he worked this miracle by the power of the devil. Like Martin Luther, the Pharisees allowed themselves to be blinded by their pride. However, we must remember that the same could easily happen to us as well. Because of original sin and its effects, all men to one degree or another have what theologians call secret and subtle pride within them. Pride is defined as the inordinate love of one's own excellence. In creating mankind, God gave to man a natural love of himself because we recognize a good in ourselves, our own excellence given to us by God. And this love of ourselves is a good thing. That is why our Lord could tell the apostles, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." He was using our love for ourselves as a measure of our love for our neighbor. But original sin has warped this innate self-love. We now tend to love ourselves too much. We recognize the good that is in us, but then we exaggerate it, and often don't even realize this is happening. For we see ourselves as better than others, and like the Pharisees, we put others down in our own eyes. In fact, so insidious is pride that it is truly the root of all sins. Whenever we sin, we look to our own good, our own pleasure, our own desires, and we ignore the law of God. It is our pride, our self-love, that drives us to do so. But it can do even more, for it affects our thoughts and conversations with our fellow man. Like the Pharisees and Martin Luther, pride blinds us to the good in our neighbor, that is, we exalt ourselves and we lower others in our own eyes. It prevents us from recognizing what is good in them and unable to speak of our neighbor as we should. The Pharisees, for example, were blind to the truth that Christ was sent by God and was, in fact, God, because then they would have to look up to him and admit he was better and is better than them. Their minds were closed to the truth of Christ, and so their mouths were dumb to speak well of him. And thus they insulted and blasphemed our God. Our pride, my dear faithful, can lead us to do the same. It may lead us to gossip about others, talking badly about them, putting them down before others and as well in our own minds, all so that we feel better about ourselves. We may admit that we are not the best, but our pride may lead us to think that at least we're better than them. They are beneath us, to be looked down upon, mocked, laughed at, and derided. Another way our pride manifests itself in conversation is by being self-opinionated, like Martin Luther. Martin Luther was so blinded by his exalted opinion of himself that he could not believe he could be wrong. This led him to twist even sacred scripture, the word of God, to suit his own ends, so that he threw out what was not to his liking, and he added what was. And since his pride made him unable to recognize that he might just be wrong, the only proof he needed to offer was, Dr. Martin Luther will have it so. Meaning that, therefore, it must be right, because that's what I think. We too, my dear faithful, may at times think too much of our own ideas, opinions, and personal beliefs, that we know more than others. We will then look down upon them, holding our own opinion above theirs, and brook no opposition against ours. One evidence of this is that if you find yourself growing angry when someone contradicts you, especially in matters of opinion, that is a sign of pride. Opposed to all this, though, my dear faithful, all these examples of pride, is the beautiful virtue of humility. A virtue so dear to the Sacred Heart, our Lord told the apostles, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." St. Thomas Aquinas tells us humility consists in keeping oneself within one's own bounds, not reaching out to things above oneself, but submitting to one's superior. In other words, we keep ourselves within our own bounds by understanding that any good that is in us comes from God. The only thing that we can really claim for ourselves are our own sins and faults. Humility thus admits our failings, and thus sees others even as better than ourselves, for we see the good in them. A humble person in conversation will not be so sure that he is always right. He will readily ask himself, "Am I certain of this? Might I be wrong?" Especially when he is contradicted. Furthermore, he remains calm when others do, in fact, contradict him. He even speaks and thinks well of them. And then, when speaking of others, even behind their back, he will look to see if he is bringing out that person's good points, or instead lowering these people by speaking of their imperfections or failings. Then he will point out something good about them instead. And if he can't think of something good about them, he will, in all charity, say, "They are in need of prayers." And then he himself will be ready to say a prayer for them. For in his charity and his humility, he wishes good for everyone. That, my dear faithful, should be how we act, humble in thought and word with our neighbor. To gain this humility and overcome the blindness of pride, like the possessed man in today's gospel, we must ask for the cure from God Almighty. In your prayers, then, ask for humility. Ask for this grace to practice this virtue. And then strive for it yourself with your neighbor. Be ready to listen to them. Recognize the good that is in them. Be humble in your thoughts, opinions, and statements, remembering that others may be right and you may be wrong. And in this way, completely contrary to Martin Luther and the Pharisees, you will follow in the way of our Savior, who so humbly embraced such a cross for love of us. He was the master and is the redeemer, for he lowered himself in the eyes of men, embracing even the crucifixion, the death reserved for traitors. Such is the humility of the Sacred Heart. Strive then, my dear faithful, as our Savior commanded, imitate the Sacred Heart in his humility. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.